Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That's a wrap.
Yo, that's a wrap. It was an amazing experience. Hope everybody enjoyed it. Hope you got some laughs, some good entertainment.
This is Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
Kuminga will bring it up. That's going to be that. And the Warriors are still alive. The defending champions down 3-1 come away with a victory. The clock will run out. The Warriors win 121-106. And more questions, more thoughts as we head back to L.A. for Game 6 on Friday night.
Yeah, the Warriors survive tonight inside Chase Center, a game they led by as many as 18. Looked like they were going to turn it into a blowout a couple of different times, but the Lakers kept hanging around. It felt like it was a 10-12-point game throughout a majority of the second half. Warriors would push it up to 16. Lakers would come back, but the Warriors with more than enough to get the victory. Big second quarter, 38-31, and a big first half with the Warriors putting 70 on the board. The offense came to life for Golden State as we welcome the Inside Warriors Wrap-Up here tonight on 95.7 The Game. It's John Dickinson coming to you from Harmonic Brewing in Thrive City right outside of Chase Center. Crowd on hand and enjoying a few brews and celebrating this Warriors victory. 121-106 the final, as you heard the call there from Tim Roy right here on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. That is the phone number to give me a call or shoot me a text here. We're going to keep this thing going all the way until midnight tonight, as we have done following all of these 7 p.m. playoff starts for the Warriors. And the Warriors have a shot back in L.A. on Friday night, back at Crypto.com Arena. And they're going to have to win a road playoff game in a series for a 29th consecutive time to stay alive. But they've got a shot because they held serve and were able to win tonight by 15. A lot of different things to get into. The Warriors, I thought tonight, great job of sticking with what worked in Game 4 in Los Angeles and not panicking, not feeling that they had to do anything dramatically different in terms of the rotation or who was going to be able to get minutes. Gary Payton II in the Warriors starting lineup worked in Game 4. The Warriors got a lot of good shots. He got a lot of pick and roll buckets early in the game. His defense is game changing when he's on the floor, and that part wasn't broke for the Warriors on Monday night down in Los Angeles. So the Warriors stuck with Gary Payton II in the starting lineup. He ends up being a game-high plus 25. He'd scored 13 points and just a tremendous impact on the game both ways for GP2. Where things changed for the Warriors was they had somebody else other than Steph Curry step up and help carry the scoring load. They hit 11 threes in the first half. That helps as well when you're able to do that. Now, Steph Curry still hasn't found his three-point shot. Klay Thompson didn't find his three-point shot, but the Warriors in the first quarter of this game had six different players make a three. Steph, Klay, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, Gary Payton II, and Moses Moody each made threes. Moody made a pair in the first quarter. The Warriors were hot in the first half. The offense was rolling. Lakers, it was kind of an open gym style game for them, the early regular season feel before they made all the trades. I did think the Lakers were trying to coast a little bit in this game tonight and just see if they could hang around with their offense long enough to try and put a defensive imprint on it and maybe try to lock the Warriors down in Game 5. But the Warriors were getting off offensively, patient. Few too many turnovers, especially early. Those tapered off as the game went on. You had Steph Curry again in complete control. And the Warriors, finally, some secondary scoring. And this was a big-time performance from Draymond Green tonight as he goes for 20. Andrew Wiggins pitches in 25, 10 of 18, a very aggressive Andrew Wiggins offensively as he took the second most amount of shots on the Warriors roster in this game after Stephen Curry. He goes 10 for 18 and puts in 25 points. And the Warriors much needed Andrew Wiggins to be able to put an offensive imprint on this game. Draymond was attacking. Draymond was looking to score. He hit that three early and was really getting after it in the lane as well, as Draymond Green winds up 6 of 9. He got to the on twos, got to the free throw line, hit the three, and Draymond Green just played like a man possessed in this game. Tom Izzo for Michigan State, his college head coach, in the house, and Draymond was playing like a guy that wanted to impress Coach Izzo with the way he was able to really just impact things both ways. The Warriors were running. The pace was tremendous for Golden State. They pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed some more. And again, very much a comfortable offensive-type flow to this thing both ways. Lakers were able to hang around. Warriors only up 4 after 1. But then a 38-31 second quarter, and the game by the end of the half with the Warriors able to go on a little run to close the half. 16-5 after the Lakers had tied it at 54 late in the second quarter. I thought that was the key to the ball game, where the Warriors gained separation in double digits that they would not relinquish the rest of the way, as the Warriors found themselves from that 54-54 tie into what would ultimately be a 70-59 lead at the half. You got Darvin Ham taking shots at Steve Kerr in his television interview on TNT with Chris Haynes at the quarter break after one and heading into the second quarter, saying the Lakers don't teach flopping. A shot back at Coach Kerr for talking about how the Lakers have been flopping around and trying to buy some calls in this one. You have your nightly Anthony Davis injury scare, and we want to make sure we're tactful and appropriate on this. It was a legitimate one as he got hit in the face by Kevon Looney in the game, didn't come back, and there were varying degrees of report on Anthony Davis as Chris Haynes was all over this for TNT and Bleacher Report. Davis, the latest on him is that he has avoided a concussion, according to Chris Haynes, doing much better now. Darvin Ham mentioned as much in his postgame press conference as well, but it had been reported prior to that in the fourth quarter. Davis had kind of gone to the tunnel behind the Lakers bench and was experiencing some dizziness. And so he had been in a wheelchair, I guess, at one point because of some of that dizziness. And look, concussion-like symptoms are nothing to mess around with at all. I know Draymond Green had mentioned the fact that after he got hit in Game 4, he was able to finish the game and didn't exude any symptoms during the game, but wound up having to go through the NBA's version of the concussion protocol where they put you through a bunch of tests. I know Draymond had mentioned that on his podcast. So it's no joke and obviously a real thing. And so with Davis exuding some symptoms, it was something that I think definitely would be newsworthy coming off of this game with the quick turnaround, one day off in between Game 5 and Game 6 in Los Angeles, and then another day between Game 6 and Game 7. I mean, if he became symptomatic and or remained symptomatic, and will probably still have to go through the concussion test that Draymond had to go through in between Game 4 and Game 5, that could potentially put his status in doubt for a Game 6 or a Game 7. But the early reports are, and again, I'm going with Chris Haynes and his reporting here via Twitter, Chris Haynes reporting that the early diagnosis indicates Davis appears to have avoided a concussion. So good news on that front. Don't want to see him be unable to play or anything like that in a Game 6, or if this series, as the Warriors are hoping, can go to a Game 7. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Warriors wrap up here tonight with John Dickinson from Harmonic Brewing in Thrive City. Warriors win 121-106. Let's get it going on the phone lines at 888-957-9570. Alex in San Francisco is going to get us tipped off here tonight on Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Alex.
Hey, John. Thanks for picking me up. You know what? The Warriors absolutely crush it tonight. Jordan Poole being like plus minus zero, but if you look at the whole starting lineup, they slaughtered it tonight. Like, Gary Payton was absolutely a game changer in plus minus 25. That's incredible. So Dubs go down to L.A. They win by 5 points in L.A., and they come back and win it in San Francisco. So thanks for taking my call, and go Dubs.
All right, appreciate the call, Alex. Yeah, just so many more positive contributions up and down the roster for the Warriors in this game as you look at it. Jordan Poole didn't play great tonight in his 23 minutes, but he didn't kill the Warriors tonight. And I thought his performance was much more in line with some of the performances we saw from him in the Sacramento series, where he wasn't great, especially in Game 5 and in Game 7 necessarily, but he did enough to buy enough time to where the Warriors can rest their other players that they want to have out there with regularity and not completely wreck the game in the process. And so Poole still doesn't have his three going. He's one of six, but he was able to hit a couple of shots from two. And again, no turnovers tonight. He had four assists. He kind of kept the ball moving and tried to stay out of the way for the most part. And that's exactly what the Warriors need, because the Warriors do not have the luxury of being able to completely go away from Jordan Poole. Steve Kerr did it in the second half of Game 4, and it's something you can play maybe once or twice a series. But with the Warriors now having to win three consecutive games, one of which they have down, you can't just play six. You know, you can have six you trust, but you still got to probably play eight, even nine. And we saw the Warriors roll basically with nine tonight. You're still going to need some minutes from Poole. You're still going to need some minutes from Dante DiVincenzo. Kevon Looney was much more impactful in this game tonight. Four offensive boards to go with four defensive boards. He was commanding things as well with his screen setting. I know there's been a lot of conversation about the screen setting in this series, back and forth with the Lakers thinking the Warriors are maybe getting away with some illegal screens. There's been some illegal screens called where Steve Kerr had said, hey, I think the Lakers are flopping. You got Darvin Ham punching back on that. But the Warriors just getting much more capable and playable performance. You don't have to play great, but you can't be awful or completely unplayable. And the Warriors tonight got enough from Poole, a much more positive game from Looney. Moses Moody knocked down two huge three-point shots for his 6 points and only played 10 minutes. But, again, a steady 10 minutes from Moses Moody. We talked about GP2 and his ability to really be a two-way force, getting to the bucket and getting some easy ones. He knocked down a corner three, plus 25. And how about Andrew Wiggins? A much more aggressive Andrew Wiggins along for the ride with Steph Curry. Klay Thompson didn't have a great night shooting it, but this was one of the steadier Klay Thompson defensive games, and the Warriors are going to need him to make some shots, obviously, if they're going to go back to L.A. where it's going to be a lot more difficult. But the Warriors took advantage of what the Lakers presented them with tonight. It was a much more loosely played game. The Warriors' offense allowed the defense to relax a little bit and not have the game just be so tight and constricted to where it felt like the Warriors just were scratching for every single bucket they were getting tonight. Much more flow. I think the Warriors would take that if they could play tonight's style of game in L.A., but for whatever reason, the Warriors just don't make shots in L.A., which is a Friday problem. But as happy as everybody is tonight that the Warriors are able to get the win in this one, it's a problem that's going to come quick, fast, and in a hurry with the one day off in between the next couple of games. Galileo in Fremont is next. 888-957-9570. Hey, Galileo, you're on Warriors Wrap-Up with J.D.
Hey, JD, just coming home from the game. My word, that was outstanding. I love the burst to close the first half. Curry, hip-hop to his right with a 3-11-point lead. Second biggest lead. That was just outstanding, the burst to close the half. Similarly to how the Lakers had the burst to close the end of the first half. I think it was two games ago when we had three techs in a flagrant.
Yeah, 30-8 run at the end of the, you know, going back. But, yeah, the Lakers had a run right there that basically put them up close to double digits. And at that point, it was like, uh-oh, this is a big-time problem for the Warriors.
Yeah.
Thanks, Galileo.
Go ahead,
Galileo. You can finish up.
Yeah, another thing I like you mentioned, the flow was good. It was rhythmic. I think the crowd had a factor. They were doing some good energy. And also, I really want to point out a lot of late-game bailout shots. Draymond had a jumper. Curry hit one, besides the halftime one. Just like end of the shot clock, we need a shot, boom, and we were actually connecting on those.
Yeah, and they're going to need those, Galileo, and thanks for the call. The Warriors are going to need to hit some of those late shot clock, nothing going, bailout shots, as you called them, and I think it's exactly right. The Warriors hit a bunch of those tonight. The Lakers were pretty comfortable for good chunks of this game offensively. I think that's one thing that I sort of thought, hey, this doesn't necessarily bode well, but the flow was such and the pace was such and the Warriors' offensive rhythm was such that I think the Warriors could get away with it being a much more loosely played game. It kind of felt there, though, in the first half as the Warriors built the lead and then lost the lead when it was tied at 54 as if, if the Warriors have a prolonged cold spell and the Lakers keep rolling offensively at the rate that they're rolling, the Warriors may find themselves down 6 or 8, and that would be trouble because the Lakers, I felt, were really kind of trying to coast, seeing how far their offense could get them in this game. Could it get them close enough to the finish line and then maybe allow their defense to pick up some of the slack as things got going down the stretch? But the Warriors were able to avoid that, and they were really able to avoid it with the run there at the end of the quarter. The 16-5 first half close, game was tied at 54, and the Warriors made a lot of tough shots. The Lakers made some tough shots as well. Klay Thompson hit a big three late there to make it 67-59. And then the Warriors got the three ball from Steph Curry to close it at 38-31 and 70-59 at the end of the quarter. And look, Wiggins had 16 at the half. Draymond had 14 at the half. Curry had 12. It just tonight was not a night where it felt like Curry had to do everything in terms of the scoring. And look, he didn't shoot it great overall, at least his three. He was really good at attacking. I thought tonight, anytime Steph Curry had Austin Reeves on him, anytime he got Reeves on him, he looked to put a move on him and get his head down and try and get toward the basket, which I think is something that needs to be a factor if the Lakers are going to stick with these scenarios where Reeves is going to be one of the guys to allow others to kind of switch and try to double and trap the pick-and-roll game. Warriors stuck with the pick-and-roll. Wiggins got involved in some pick-and-roll tonight as well, which I think allowed him to get cooking, but Wiggins was much more aggressive, and I think we're going to have to see that aggressiveness, but also that level of shot-making from Andrew Wiggins. 8 of 13 on twos for Andrew Wiggins in this game tonight. That's what we're going to need to see if the Warriors are going to survive and advance one more time to force the Game 7 right back here inside Chase Center on what would be Sunday afternoon, Mother's Day afternoon, 12:30 tip-off. If necessary, Warriors, though, have to survive L.A. They haven't been able to win there, and they haven't been able to finish there. Played well in stretches, but just not enough shot-making for the Warriors, and down the stretch in Game 4 crushed them to a point where it is the difference. It is still the reason why the Warriors trail in this series 3-2, as opposed to maybe being up in this series 3-2. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. It is John Dickinson here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game as the Warriors inch closer, trying to rally from 3-1 down. Warriors 121, Lakers 106 in a game that felt tight, felt a little tight. Every time the Lakers were only down by 10, it was like, oh boy, the Warriors are going to have to keep answering, but the Warriors had every answer in this ball game tonight to allow themselves to prevail and get the win. Most points in any half of this year's playoffs. The Warriors go for 70 in the first half of this one. The last time the Warriors had 70 in any half of a playoff game, you go back to 78 in the second half against Memphis in this round, going back to last year's playoffs in 2022, 70 in the first half. You go back to a game at the Clippers where Kevin Durant was going off 4 years ago in Los Angeles. So the Warriors can put points up on the board in Crypto, used to be Staples Center, but they've had a tougher time doing it for whatever reason when the Lakers' floor and lighting is down. Andrew Wiggins, fourth 20-point game of his 2023 playoffs. I think this is the best game Andrew Wiggins has played in the playoffs. Forget about the sack series, and he had some moments in that series. But this was the best game of the playoffs. Fourth one with 20, most impactful 20, and 25 for Wiggins in this one. Great, great stuff from Andrew Wiggins tonight as the Warriors just a much more effortless type game offensively, and that's what they're going to need. And I think another part of this thing for Golden State is the fact that they've been able to make Anthony Davis and make LeBron James work. Now, Davis ended up only with 32 minutes. I think he would have been closer to 40 had he not had the evaluation for a head injury that kept him out, and the dizziness and some of those things. But LeBron and Anthony Davis, the Warriors made him work. LeBron played 39 minutes. They were working at least offensively. They weren't really working as much defensively tonight. And so the game stayed close enough to where the Lakers, up until really the final 3 minutes, decided that they were going to hang around and put some pressure on the Warriors. I felt that going back and forth for both teams tonight, just the fact that they were both trying to make sure that they took a pound of flesh physically to lead back to Game 6. And I got the impression the Lakers didn't totally want to go full bore on the defensive side, wanted to just kind of hang around like they were doing for a good chunk of the night, save some of that energy on the defensive side, but also put pressure on the Warriors to have to make sure they really had to work, not have it be a complete and utter blowout to where they'd get to rest players and line things up for Friday. So I think both teams in their own way can make the case that as far as heading toward Friday, each took their pound of flesh in terms of the physicality and the up and down play. But the Warriors have to, I think, especially like how fast the game was played in this one. And they're going to need to run, and run some more down in Southern California Friday night. All right, back to the phones we go. 888-957-9570. Secret sauce of the game coming up here in just a few. But Junior in East Palo Alto is next on Warriors Wrap-Up following this big Warriors win. What's going on, Junior?
Hey, hello?
What's going on, Junior? Yeah, you're on the air, man.
Okay, so pretty much, like I was saying, I think Wiggins deserves so much credit. I give Wiggins a lot of credit, and I also give Draymond a lot of credit because of the work that they put in.
All right. Thanks, Junior. Junior trying to listen to his phone call on his radio. Thanks, man. Yeah, Wiggins deserves all the credit. And Draymond deserves a lot of credit. And we've seen Draymond able to take advantage of the way defenses play him to the tune of being able to get into the paint and get layups and even draw fouls. And tonight he made his free throws 5 of 5. That's the kind of aggressive Draymond that the Warriors are going to have if they're going to pull this thing off and get it back to chase for a Sunday afternoon game here at 12:30 in Game 7. Like, they're going to need more of that, and they're going to need Wiggins. And, yes, so credit to them. They stepped in. They stepped up. But the bigger question as we start to separate, and look, everybody can be happy, but the Warriors still have work to do. It's the fact that how does what the Warriors did tonight translate? Because I do think both teams probably leave tonight thinking, all right, we're good, right? The Warriors are good because they survived. They played much better offensively. I think the Lakers are good because they didn't get blown out. They were very comfortable offensively in the game. I think they would probably take the game that they had tonight for the most part offensively. But you look at that in comparison to Game 4 and some of the games that the Lakers have won in this series, the free throws. So the two games the Warriors have won, the free throws have basically been even. And the three games that the Lakers have won, they've had a much more significant advantage in terms of free throws. So the Lakers had a decent offensive game and shot the two pretty well, 10 to 27 on three, but they didn't get the free throws, and that's another big key, I think, to this one. Warriors didn't foul them, and then the free throws were even, and the Warriors, when the game is even like that and the Lakers aren't getting those extra points at the line, then the Warriors are pretty tough to beat in this series. All right, next up we go to Rich in Fremont. What's going on, Rich?
Hey, what's up, JD? Thanks for taking my call. I think this game was pretty much what I call the wounded animal analogy. In other words, when you have a wounded animal and he's cornered, okay, all of a sudden the wounded animal is going to do whatever he can do to stay alive. And I think the Warriors were that wounded animal. They were cornered. It was 3-1. They knew, hey, if we don't come out fighting, if we don't do what we're supposed to do, then guess what? We're done. And they knew that. So what do? They rallied as a team tonight. Tonight was team basketball. And that's something they haven't done, in my opinion, all season. But they did tonight. In other words, you got guys contributing from all aspects of their team. And that's what you want to see. That's the reason why they got the win. And by the way, I tip my hat to Jordan Poole. He didn't have a lot of minutes, but when he was in there, he contributed. And yes, Wiggins definitely deserves, you know, definitely all the accolades for tonight's performance. Amazing. And at the end of the day, I tell you something. If I'm the Lakers, you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking, hey, you got to close them out Friday night. Because if you don't close them out Friday night, you got a major problem. You got a championship team with championship DNA taking you back home. And you know what that means? It doesn't mean a guaranteed win for the Lakers. It means, hey, guess what?
No doubt.
That could go either way. Thanks, JD.
No, I appreciate it, Rich. I think the Warriors have shown in this series that they can do enough offensively in Chase Center when they're home to beat the Lakers, even if the Lakers are playing pretty well themselves offensively. To me, that's the difference. The difference is the Warriors at home in this series can do enough scoring to beat the Lakers. The difference is, and this is where I agree with you, Rich, as far as Game 6 and it being kind of the all-in game for the Lakers. And no, it doesn't mean if the Warriors win Game 6 that Game 7 is an automatic. But I feel great about the Warriors' chances to win Game 7. And I said that coming in to Game 5 tonight. I said it on our Warriors Weekly podcast I recorded this morning with Matt Steinmetz. I said, hey, I'm feeling good if I'm the Warriors about the two home games, assuming you can play two home games, being down 3-1. And now the Warriors have checked one box. It goes back to L.A. for Friday night, and all of the pressure is now on the Lakers because the specter of the Warriors being a different team in this building, and I know the Lakers won a higher-scoring game in Game 1, and that's not to say they couldn't do it again if the Warriors don't play well, but the specter of the Warriors just hitting a few more of those dagger shots and having a few more offensive contributors, having the game be a little bit faster-paced, maybe the free throws are evened. As they've been in two of the three games in this building, they've been evened, and the Warriors have won both of those games. That means you better get it done if you're L.A. Friday night. That's your shot. And I always say this in a playoff series for the team that's in the Lakers' position, the team that begins the series without the home court advantage. I always put it this way. The best thing and the goal for every team that enters the series without a home court advantage, the goal for them is to set up Game 6 at home with a chance to end the series. Like, you have pitched a perfect series in a lot of ways. If you're the team that starts without home court, you steal one of those first two, you win 3 and 4, and you set yourself up for Game 6 close out on your home floor. But you better get it done. If you're going to take a shot at the champ, you better not miss. And the Lakers' shot to end and win this series is Friday night. Because that's where the Warriors have not been able to, in this series, do enough offensively. They get impatient. They get frustrated. They don't make shots. They don't make the most of their good play when they do play effectively. The Lakers have hit them with these quick runs to make the game even and I think make the game a slog to where the Warriors feel like they got to climb uphill all over again. And the Warriors broke in Game 3 in the second quarter, and the Lakers blew them out. And then you go to Game 4 in the fourth quarter, and the Lakers come back, and they make it a close game, and the Warriors can't hit anything. They don't execute. Some bad possessions in those final 2 minutes, even though the Warriors probably did enough on both ends to steal that game in Game 4. And so that's the series. Like, this series is not a lock, but the Lakers' shot is Friday. And if they miss, the Warriors become the favorite to win this series in Game 7. So it's fragile, and it looked bleak, and it's only been done 13 times out of 290 or whatever the heck it is, or 277 or whatever it was we read it on Warriors Live. But that's the goal if you're that team without the home court, to be able to have a shot to close it out on your home floor. And so we'll see what happens. We'll see if the Warriors can be a team on the road in this series that they haven't been able to be to this point. We'll see if they can play Game 4 all over again, because that's what they're going to have to do. The Warriors are going to have to play Game 4 all over again, only hit a few more shots over the course of the game to where it's not tight down the stretch, or they're going to have to execute and hit a couple of shots late in the game to where they hold the Lakers off when the Lakers inevitably make their run. J.K. in Berkeley next here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570. Hey, J.K.
Hey, how are you? Really appreciate being on the call today. I'm driving back from the game right now, and we had an epic experience. I just got a couple of quick. My wife's favorite player is Wiggy, and Wiggy got off tonight. My favorite player is Draymond, and he kicked butt. And so that's how it went. You know, I read the Chronicle this morning, and I got to tell you, I'm a little frustrated. All this negative talk about Kerr. Kerr is a stud. 6 out of 8 finals in the last 8 years. What do you want? Poole, love the guy. The Warriors, I mean, Steph, these guys are phenomenal. Yeah, Clay's having a tough series, but I love the guy. The Bay Area, we are so lucky. We're going to go down to L.A. this weekend or Friday and rip those guys to bits. And Mother's Day, hey, Mom, guess what? You're getting a gift. It's a Game 7 win. God bless the Warriors. I love these guys.
J.K., thanks, man. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of Mother's Day brunches if the Warriors can pull off Friday night that are going to be including the Warriors game at a Game 7 at that. Be a lot of brunches that are going to be either 10 o'clock in the morning and done by noon or starting at 3:30 in the afternoon after the game or, hell, again, just including the game. My mom will be watching if that winds up happening. There's no question about it. But, yeah, it's a matter of can the Warriors bring, and can Draymond bring that again? Like, you can't slow down the freight train that is Draymond Green when he's on one like he was on one tonight. But can he do it again? Can he do it again on the road with the Warriors on the brink again? Terry in San Jose, Warriors wrap up. Hey, Terry.
Yeah, hey, JD. Thanks for taking my call. Driving home from the game with my son, had a great time, obviously.
Awesome.
And I just wanted to say that in Game 3, when the Warriors took a double-digit lead, an 11-point lead in the second quarter, and Warriors had no answers offensively. Game 4, same thing, 12-point lead in the third quarter, Lakers make a run, Warriors have no answers. Tonight was the first night that every time the Lakers would make their run, and they made a few. The Warriors finally had answers. Offensively, they get a bucket from somebody and just keep the Lakers behind. And that was the difference in the game. I also thought that it was good that, in particularly, LeBron and Davis played up until, I know it was 2 minutes or so when they called everybody off and played some heavier minutes with the short turnaround and Davis's injury history and LeBron getting up there in age, that might bode well for the Warriors on Friday. So hopefully they can carry over some of those answers in a couple days, and we'll have a Game 7 on Sunday.
Thanks for the call, Terry. Appreciate it. Glad you enjoyed the game with your son. That's awesome. And it was an excellent point. The Warriors did have answers tonight. Very different story. And never really let the Lakers in the second half have a ton of life. I think the Lakers got it down to 9 in the second half briefly, but the Warriors would hit a bucket every time it felt like, okay, this thing's getting a little dicey. And it was hanging. Again, any prolonged Warriors scoring drought tonight, and this game was going to be within a couple of possessions, and Chase Center was going to be huffing and puffing a little bit and sucking air, thinking, uh-oh. Or is the same thing that maybe has happened in a couple of those games on the road. Yeah, Game 3 and Game 4, the Warriors had their chances. There's no doubt. I mean, they had the 11-point lead and were controlling things, and it looked like they had figured the Lakers out some. But again, prolonged scoring droughts have allowed the Lakers to come back in some of these games, and then once the Warriors lose it, they just haven't been able to get it back. And they lost it right before halftime in Game 3. And they lost it in the fourth quarter of Game 4, and really only the final maybe 2 or 3 minutes of Game 4, but they just didn't hit enough shots early, and things were kind of ugly, and it just, the game was just a slog in Los Angeles, and tonight wasn't. Tonight was flow and open and pace and ball movement and tempo and all those things. Like, it just was just a much more aesthetically pleasing to the Warriors kind of a game. Excuse me. excuse me, much more aesthetically pleasing kind of game for the Warriors tonight compared to the games in L.A., and I think that allowed for them to have those answers that Terry was talking about. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Filmo Mike is next here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. What's going on, Filmo? Let me take a little sip here, man, as I'm coughing on 95.7. What's going on, my man? How you doing tonight? Cheers to you, brother.
Oh man, I'm good. I'm chilling. I'm happy we got the win. Extended our season. I love how the Warriors early on they did play with pace, but on a couple of possessions when they normally kind of like think they're on a flurry. I think GP2 could have shot up a shot. He pulled it out. Curry could have shot up a shot within the same possession, and they slowed it down, pulled it out. So they was doing a great job of picking their times. When they could go hard and when they couldn't, but ultimately they kept the pace up. Like, they were running back down their butt a lot. You feel me? Like, they'll get the rebound. And then I said this a couple days ago. All the time you don't got to foul. They did a great job of not fouling. You could take the ball out the rim and push it up the court right back. Even though they scored, you play good D, don't foul them, though. Also, real quick, Draymond played excellent ball tonight. Van Gundy always talking about Draymond, how he's complaining. But we never mention the times when the superstars complain and they don't get the whistle because why? They're superstars. So I'm sick of Van Gundy always pointing out Draymond Green. Well, Draymond Green's complaining. Superstars complain all day and get the foul just because they're quote-unquote superstars. So I'm sick of that, and I love Draymond's fight. It's true. If everybody else talking, don't tell me to shut up. Everybody else is talking too.
Thanks, Filmo. 888-957-9570. The Warriors were more patient, more disciplined, I thought, at different points, offensively and defensively in this game, and it paid off. And, yeah, bottle it up, Dre. Fly Tom Izzo in the private jet down to Crypto Friday night, whatever it is. Again, bottle it up and be ready at 7 o'clock Pacific coming up two nights from now. Damon and Walnut Creek next on Warriors Wrap-Up. Hey, Damon.
Hey, yeah, I flew in for the game today from Utah. I go to college there, and I was just so hyped for this Game 5 win. I thought Draymond did spectacular, and so did Wiggins. We finally saw him kind of spring out. I know Clay was kind of slacking with 10 points, but, you know, I expect a great Game 6 from him. And I have to also give it up to Looney. I was sitting right behind his parents. It was a pretty awesome experience. I got to talk to them after the game, and it's just been such a great postseason for Looney. His rebounding has been awesome. And I just, you know, have the highest expectations for them going into Game 6. I think they can pull it out, and we'll have a Game 7 on Sunday. So I'm really excited for it.
Thanks, Damon. Be safe, my man, if you're heading back to Utah here after the big Game 5. Yeah, Kevon Looney was back tonight. 20 minutes, and this is not going to be a 30-minute-a-night Looney series. But he was, and it makes me think that maybe the illness was much more of a thing for the last couple of games, because Looney was an effective player in Game 4. I know you go back to Game 2, and Jamichael Green got the start, and Looney was going to be unable to play a lot of minutes, and then they kind of went away from him in Game 3, which made sense. Didn't play a lot, but was effective in Game 4, and this isn't going to be a heavy Looney time, but you need a backup center, and I think Kevon Looney is able to give you more than Jamichael Green at this point. And, like, they got their one game out of Jamichael Green. He hit some threes. He helped them. Lakers made the adjustment. Didn't work in Game 3, and now you're off of Jamichael Green for the remainder of this series. But you need a backup center. And so if Looney's not going to start and they're going to stick with GP2, and, yeah, you're going to stick with GP2 in the starting lineup because that worked. It worked now in each of the last couple of games in setting up the Warriors with chances to win. So you still need 15, 20 minutes from Loon. And Loon gave him a couple extra possessions with the boards. His screens were really good tonight. Some of the assist game was good. He was playing position defense at a high level with a couple of steals and had a block shot. And so, again, not a high-volume Looney, but you're looking for playables. And the Warriors trust Kevon Looney. And so Kevon Looney's somebody that can be out there on the floor because you can't play only six or seven, and you got to have somebody spell Draymond for the time that he isn't going to be out there, and Kevon was able to do that tonight. All right, one more here before the top of the hour break. 888-957-9570. Got a couple of phone lines open. John Dickinson here on Warriors Wrap-Up. Warriors 121, Lakers 106. I'm coming to you right outside of Chase Center, Harmonic Brewing, and we're doing Warriors Wrap-Up, and we're keeping things going all the way until midnight tonight here on 95.7 The Game. All right, back to the phones. Brian in San Francisco is next. Hey, Brian.
Guys, I'm just reporting that I was sitting behind the bench and watching Jordan Poole the whole game.
Okay.
And if we're going to do anything, we're probably going to have to do it without Jordan Poole because his body language was horrible. Every time out, he wouldn't join the huddle. He would be on the outskirts with his hands in his pocket. I saw Iggy go up to him and talk to him, and Iggy kind of threw his hand at Jordan's face, kind of like, I'm done with you. And he was looking at the Warrior girls. He was looking in the audience. He was talking to the rookie, but he was always on the outskirts. And then Zaza went up to him and told him that he's, I guess, playing the last 2 minutes or the garbage time. And he almost didn't want to take off his shirt. He slowly took it off. He didn't want to take off his warm-ups. And he was just like, man, the whole game he was like that. He just he was unhappy, very unhappy. And you can see it. Everyone could see it.
All right. Thanks for the call. And appreciate the report on that. He may not be happy. And look, I don't know if he is or he isn't. And I don't want to infer too much. It would make a lot of sense if he wasn't happy. But the Warriors can take what they got from Poole tonight on the court and live with it and get through this series and move on to the next one. And at this point, you know, whether he's happy or not happy or whatever it is, or wants out or they want him out or he's coming back, like, none of that stuff matters right now. What matters is, can you get enough from him to win game six and force a game seven? Then can you get enough of him at a game seven to win the series back here on Sunday? And so all of those things, I think, if true, and we don't know they are, although, again, at this point, it wouldn't be hard to believe. If he gives them what he gave them tonight and doesn't wreck the game, they got a shot to win the series. And if they've got a shot to win the series, again, that's all that matters at the end of the day. And the rest of it, as far as where he's at and where the team is and all this other stuff and roles and young players, like, all of that's going to get sorted out in the offseason. It's just a matter of, when is that offseason going to begin? And if you're the Warriors, you want to make that as far out as possible. All right, secret sauce of the game. Why did the Warriors win or lose? It's brought to you by Proposition Chicken. This chicken goes three ways: fried, flipped, and fake. Now available 9 Bay Area locations, or you can order at propositionchicken.com. And the secret sauce of the game tonight for the Warriors, Andrew Wiggins, getting a little more offensively from him, and really everybody pitching in offensively for the Warriors. Draymond Green, got to make him part of the secret sauce, going for 20 points, 10 boards, 4 assists, attacking the basket. Andrew Wiggins was much more aggressive in this game tonight. And we're going to make it Wiggins, Draymond, and Peyton, who in this game combined to score 58 points. That's the secret sauce. The Warriors needed somebody to step up and help Steph Curry, and they got it threefold in this game from Draymond Wiggins and Gary Payton II to the tune of 58 points for those three, and the flow of the game was much better, and the Warriors are able to comfortably, not easily, but comfortably keep the Warriors at bay throughout the second half and win this one 121-106. That your secret sauce of the game, Proposition Chicken. Again, order now, 9 Bay Area locations or at propositionchicken.com. All right, we'll pause here. We'll come back. 888-957-9570. A couple of lines open. Comcast Business text line as well, as the Warriors win over the Lakers, forcing a game six right here, 95.7 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Curry will go one-on-one with Walker with three, with two, backs up into a three, it's up and good! At the buzzer! Golden State will take an 11-point lead into the locker room at halftime.
Now back to Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, one of Steph Curry's three three-pointers, three of 11, so Steph's still not quite in sync with the three-point shot, but he finishes with 27 points, got it done from two, commanded the game, only two turnovers, and the Warriors were up 70-59 at that point. Going into the break, it capped a 38-point second quarter, and the Warriors would not quite put it on cruise control, but had enough of a cushion to prevent it from getting too dicey down the stretch here. Warriors 121, Lakers 106, back here at Harmonic Brewing, right outside Chase Center here on the Bay Patio tonight. Following Game 5, Warriors trail the Lakers 3-2 with Game 6 to be played back in L.A. on Friday night. 888-957-9570. Let's get back to the phones, and that means Al in Alameda up first here this segment, top of the 11 o'clock hour. What's going on, Al?
Thank you for taking my call. My first take here right now is, when AD got some kind of injury there, okay, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes left. You know, they were only down, I think, by 12 points. And I don't know if they just threw a towel for him and say, look, you know, sit down, we'll take this to the next game. You know, he wasn't that serious about injury. Okay, and they just, it seems like you say, okay, you might lose this game or not, okay, just sit down. Seems like he was tired also, and also LeBron James. They felt like we're not going to win this game, and that's why they said, okay, get him out of here now, okay, we're going to give him a rest and give him a towel for him. And also, I noticed Clay and Curry never had that real game yet, not yet. And I'm expecting them to show up the next game. And if that happens, watch out. We go home on 7th here in Chase. I mean, that would be real nice. It would be like a repeat of what, 2015 against OKC. So right now, I think the pressure is with the Lakers the next game. If they don't close that out, watch out. Here we go again. Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Alan. Look, Anthony Davis, I do think, was legitimately not feeling well. I know it had been reported he was in a wheelchair. I think part of the reason he was in the wheelchair was because of dizziness. I know Chris Haynes had reported that. And then Haynes had reported that it looks like he's avoided a concussion. Now, dizziness and all of that, inability to stand, that can be considered concussion-like symptoms. And as we mentioned here earlier, the fact that Draymond Green had gone through on his podcast after Game 4 and detailed all of the different things that he had to do and go through in the concussion protocol to be cleared to play over the last couple of days. Now, he didn't reach a point where he had to come out of the game on Monday night in L.A., but when Draymond took that shot to the head, he ended up having to try to, to go through a process. And so it's an extensive one. I think the early signs, again, according to the Haynes report, although the dizziness and all of that would be something that I think would at least require further evaluation, it's definitely good news. I don't want to say it wasn't legitimate what Davis was going through, to be perfectly honest. And if he was dizzy and couldn't stand and they wanted to put him on a wheelchair to get him to the locker room or whatever, I mean, so be it. Like, I know we're in a day and age where people want to come down somebody's road and it's, you know, who's reporting for on what side. And I know there's been some other things with Chris where I know Warrior fans have gotten a little annoyed as far as like kind of thinking that he's only reporting the Lakers side of things, which, you know, Haynes is one of the best in the business. I will say that. And so I don't think there was necessarily an embellishment there, but the Lakers did very quickly post game let everybody know that they didn't think it was that serious. And I think part of that is the fact that, you know, you don't want to, if you're the Lakers, put things in the hands of the league as far as the concussion protocol. So I'm glad Anthony Davis is feeling better. And after being dizzy and maybe needing a wheelchair, we'll see what the evaluation looks like here moving forward. Josue in Fremont next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Josue.
Hey, JD. Hope you're enjoying your brewski over at the brewery.
Oh, yeah. I'm having a Kolsch right now, Josue. I am. Cheers to those on YouTube and Twitch. Appreciate Jimmy and everybody here at Harmonic. So what's on your mind tonight?
A few things, but I'm glad you're enjoying yourself, man. The kind of a hopeful takeaway from this game, I hope AD's okay and I hope he plays in game six, but before his injury, you know, I think a caller just said we were up 12 before he got injured and he was playing well. That was good. That was like the first time he was playing well and we were leading. So that was kind of a nice sign and a nice change of pace. And secondly, I know, Steph Curry was cooking Austin Reeves one-on-one when we were kind of trading baskets and they were trying to make a push. I think in crunch time, I don't know if that'll be Austin Reeves guarding him in game six. I don't know if they'll put LeBron on him or how they'll decide to guard him. But I wanted to ask you, did you notice Bron tweak his foot on one of like his layup putbacks? And I wasn't sure if he was now then moving more gingerly after that injury or if, you know, in fact, they were just kind of taking their foot off the brake and coasting a little bit on defense. And I wanted to see what you thought about that.
No, thanks for the call. I hadn't noticed that. And the one thing I will say on that note, Josue, is when you look at the injury report, and I'm going back and looking at the injury report, both Davis and LeBron have just perpetually been on the injury report with foot soreness. And so when you look at it, he's been, you know, that's something. So they've both been dealing with it, I guess, at this point. And so, you know, to have him maybe they're always every night on the injury report and then they come up as probable. And then, you know, an hour and a half hour before the game or whatever, the Lakers put out a tweet that says, hey, they're both playing, which obviously everybody knows they're both playing because they're both fine and it's the playoffs and all of that. So that's something to keep an eye on. I'm not sure if Darvin Ham was asked about it in their post-game press conference. We'll have to wait and see. But, it's definitely something to keep an eye on for both of those guys. As, you know, they both have dealt with foot issues throughout the course of this season. They've both missed time with foot issues. And they're both older players, and they're both having to play at an extremely high level to help guide the Warriors, or the Lakers, rather, through this series to potentially beat the Warriors as well. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's John Dickinson here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. We'll go ahead and hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, coming up here in just a second. But first, we want to get to our Extending the Three-Point Line sponsor, brought to you by West Coast Men's Health. And here's our longest three-pointer of the game.
Dennis Schroeder, back rim, missed, and the Warriors don't get the rebound. Russell gets it to Reeves, dribble drive. Reeves goes up, blocked by Klay Thompson. Payton hands the ball to Curry. Curry drifting, it's 5-on-4. I don't know if Curry knows that. He'll find Draymond, back to Curry. Corner three, got it!
Corner three there and good, and that is your longest three-pointer of the night here on 95.7 The Game. It's brought to you by West Coast Men's Health, successfully treating men for ED and chronic pain. Visit westcoastmenshealth.com. That three-pointer getting the job done for the Warriors in this one. And that, again, brought to you by West Coast Men's Health. One of 13 three-pointers for the Warriors, 11 in the first half. The Warriors only made two in the second half. And they're going to need more hot shooting. They're going to need better than the 13-35, I think, in L.A. on Friday night if they're going to walk out of Crypto.com Arena with a victory in that one. Phil in San Jose next, 888-957-9570. Hey, Phil.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, my man. What's on your mind?
You there? Oh, yeah, yeah. So,
yep, I got you.
You know what, man? A couple things. You know what? I love the pace the Warriors had last game. I think they came out of the gate, like, just full throttle, and you can tell it affected the Lakers. They were gassed. Like, LeBron was gassed. You know, his age is getting to him, obviously, when it comes to that, and he can't move around as quick as these guys can. But I think the Warriors need to keep that pace. They need to bring back that pace from last game. Right out the gate, they got to find their shots most definitely. They got to play Warrior ball and find those long balls. And, you know, the last thing, we just got to get rid of the turnovers. I know everything I'm saying is self-explanatory, but I think we can do it in seven, man. If we are able to find and fix these issues, I think the Warriors can do this in seven. I can see that happening.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I think the Warriors have to run, and run some more. And the Lakers did show some signs tonight while they were coasting even at being a little bit gassed. Now, their offense was still unaffected, but I think the Warriors would trade some defense to keep their offense flowing at the level that it was flowing at tonight, and maybe even with a little more in the three-point make department as far as at least the second half, because the Warriors cooled off in the second half in a big-time way. And so, yeah, I think the Lakers are probably happy with this game and the way that they played and getting out of it, assuming Anthony Davis is healthy. But the Warriors have to keep their foot on the pedal, I think, in a big way here. All right, let's go ahead and hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, as he met with the media in the Bill King interview room following Game 5. Warriors end up winning it by 15, and here's the head coach of the Warriors.
Besides, obviously, just providing another score on the floor, when Draymond is aggressive like that on offense, what does that do for your team?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a stat somewhere. Raymond's got it for sure. You know, when he scores a certain number of points, we usually win. You know, he's when he's aggressive like that, looking to attack, it definitely adds another dimension to our team. And I loved his approach to the game tonight. He was aggressive right from the start. Picked up a foul on the first play and didn't care. Like, made no bones about it. He's like, I'm coming. And I thought he was one of the keys for sure.
You stayed with Peyton, obviously in the starting lineup, but I think he's plus 25 in this game. What does he do for you specifically against the Lakers that's kind of triggering some of this?
Well, I mean, Gary's a game changer, and we knew that last year. I mean, we don't win the championship without Gary. And so to get him back has completely changed our defense. And against these guys, he's got the ability to get into their guards. They have great guard play with D'Lo and Reeves and Schroeder. Obviously, Walker last game played so well. So Gary gives us someone who can get underneath their ball handlers and at least make them, you know, have to work. And then offensively, he's so unique with his speed and his ability to finish around the rim. So it's just we're a different team, you know, now that he's back with us.
Hey, Steve, kind of circling back to Kendra's note on aggression, what does an aggressive Andrew Wiggins do for you guys offensively?
Yeah, this was the best game Wiggs has played since he's been back, you know, over, I guess, three weeks or so now. The way he attacked, the way he got to the rim, that adds another dimension to our attack. I thought the last couple games, we didn't get to the line a ton. We settled for a lot of stuff, and I thought Wiggs did a good job of really being aggressive.
Steph has 22 assists the last two games. Obviously hasn't shot well from three by his standards. But how essential has that been, his sort of playmaking, and how much is that a function of the way the Lakers are defending you guys?
It's a little of both. I mean, you know, I think Steph at this point in his career, he really feels, you know, what needs to happen during a game, what's required of him. And you saw it in Game 7 against Sacramento, where he knew he had to score, took 38 shots. In this series, you know, the Lakers' defense is really good. They're great at the rim. We got to get the ball moving. We got to move their defense around, and Steph understands that. And I don't know what his assist to turnover ratio is in this series, but it's pretty impressive.
Hey, Steve, you saw Draymond say on his pod, all we have to do is win one game, and then the entire tenor of the series changes, and the pressure is back on the Lakers. Obviously, every single time you guys have gone to the playoffs, basically, you know, since the Big Three has been together, you guys have reached the finals. Is there always a belief, like no matter what situation you guys are in, just because of that, that you guys can get through at all?
Yeah. I think there's always that belief based on, you know, the success these guys have had and the confidence they've built up together, the continuity. So, you know, I think our guys were disappointed. We couldn't wrap up game four after playing pretty well for most of the game. But now we get another crack to go down there and you know, try to even up the series. So the guys will always have belief. That's who they are.
Steve, there was a sequence in the fourth quarter where Andrew was picking up LeBron almost full court, knocked the ball away. It wound up with Draymond blocking Anthony Davis. Just kind of take me through that sequence and what's it like to see their defense lead to offense on the other side?
You know, Wiggs, we ask so much of him defensively in any playoff series. He's going to end up on, you know, the opponent's best wing player. So in this series, that's obviously LeBron. And you know, thank God we've got Wiggs, because he, you know, he can play all night. He can pressure up the court. He can guard in the half court and stay in front of people. And on that particular play, he picked up LeBron really high, and then Draymond was behind the play to help him out. So it's a big sequence.
Klay Thompson had 10 points tonight, 3 of 12 from the field, 2 of 6 from 3, but he's plus 16 on tonight. So can you kind of just tell me your take, your perspective on how Klay played tonight? Do you think it was a really good Klay performance, or do you think you need more for game 6?
No, I mean, it's you know, the thing with Klay is he's an incredible two-way basketball player, and that's what wins in the playoffs. Shooting comes and goes, even for the best. But if you can defend, which Klay obviously can do, then you can help a team win a playoff game. And in Klay's case, a lot of playoff games. And so the great thing is we know Klay's due for a good shooting night. But whether it comes or not, we know his defense is going to impact the game, as you said, plus 16 in 37 minutes. So he's doing a great job out there.
Steve, AD's obviously had a huge impact on the series. You guys end up with 50 points in the paint tonight, pulled him away a little bit. How did you feel about handling that impact? And are there times when, as great as he is, that you guys need to be more aggressive at the rim? Seems like there's just a lot of playing through.
Yeah, I mean, he's so good that you have to try to move him around. And, you know, they did some different things tonight. They started switching more on pick and rolls. You know, Davis is a guy that you've got to find the right balance. You have to respect his presence at the rim, but you also can't shy away from it. You know, so you got to understand if you have an angle to attack, you got to take it. And if he's there waiting, and you know, that's a great time to make a jump stop and, you know, swing the ball to the other side. And I thought our guys did a pretty good job of navigating that tonight.
You mentioned the need to move him around defensively. Also, obviously, the pick and roll has been an effective strategy in this series. They switch too, as you mentioned. How do you balance wanting to move them around with your traditional motion stuff with, you know, obviously, I guess, going heavier pick and roll?
Well, that's sort of the game. You know, for us in the playoffs is we traditionally play a lot more pick and roll in the playoffs, and we didn't go as heavy tonight on that as we did in game four. But you know, it's always a blend. A lot of what we do is, you know, after the pick and roll. So if Steph doesn't have a shot, it's the movement that results from moving the defense around, and maybe the ball swings and Klay gets a jumper, or Jordan, or, you know, Wiggs. So it's still whatever you do, whether it's motion offense or pick and roll, you're still just trying to get a reaction and draw two defenders and then move the ball. And if our spacing is good and we're making good decisions, then we can be effective either way.
Steve, you guys were obviously one loss away from elimination, but with Draymond, you've said this to me the other night. You were saying that when he doesn't play well and you guys lose, he always comes back. Tonight, did you anticipate this was going to come from him early on? I mean, did you see it beforehand or did you sense it?
I think you just expect it in a situation like this where you're facing elimination. Draymond is one of the great competitors I've ever been around, so you just expect him to bring it. I didn't say anything to him. He doesn't need any pep talks from me, that's for sure.
Steve, to follow up with that, great energy today, and it's been tough to bottle that up and then take that down to LA. But in this case, do you think, well, not do you think, but in your coaching strategy, would you pull Draymond aside and talk about his, you know, how great he did today and just kind of replicate that for game six?
I think that's what coaching is about. It's not just drawing up plays or figuring out the strategy. It's just communication and, you know, whatever I feel a player needs to hear, whether it's from me or somebody on our staff, then we try to make sure we communicate that. And Draymond and I we've known each other 9 years now, so we have a good feel for each other, and I think we see the game in a very similar manner, and we talk all the time. I say it a lot, you know, this is a collaboration, and a lot of times in film sessions, you know, the players will speak up and we'll make a decision based on how they feel, and that's how this works, so we gotta make sure we keep that connection going.
Speaking of what guys need to hear, what did Jordan Poole need to hear after the last game and sort of how he came back in this one?
I'm not sure what he needed to hear. I think what Jordan knows is that our guys support him. Our guys love him. Coaches, teammates. He's a great young guy. Everybody loves being around him. He's had a lot of success, and this year has been up and down. And so his teammates just want him to know that they're there for him, and that's what it's about. I thought he was much more aggressive and under control tonight. No turnovers. He really looked to score and get his shot going. He looked a lot more like himself tonight, and I think all the guys are happy to see that because we know he's capable of so much.
And again, tonight was passable for Jordan Poole. We welcome you back inside Warriors wrap up here, Harmonic Brewing outside Chase Center. Warriors get the win. Warriors can deal with tonight's game from Jordan Poole a couple of more times. Now, you'd sure love to have him be more efficient in scoring and it be a pool party. I think Warrior fans would love that. But you can live with tonight as he continues to kind of figure it out. A couple other just quick things here. The pick and roll balance. Warriors didn't do it as much, but they weren't afraid to do it as well, and when they did it, they really were able to get their offense flowing. I think trying to save some of that, not give the Lakers too much of an adjustment to make before Game 6 is part of the equation there. And how big was Moses Moody? Definitely think that needs to be pointed out. His ability to thrive and be an impact player, not only in this series through 5 games, but the last 6 games of the Kings series as well, Moody was impactful. And I'm going to just give a quick hat tip to Moody for being able to be effective while playing limited minutes, because that's been the ticket to his success that others, whether it's been Jordan Poole at times or Dante DiVincenzo at times or Jonathan Kuminga especially at times, none of those three have really shown the ability to be as effective in limited minutes. Moses Moody has shown that ability, and that's why Moses Moody maybe has been more productive more consistently than any of those other players in the playoffs that I've mentioned. And so that is just mature and on point, and it's how a dude who didn't really play well in the regular season when he got opportunities becomes a key rotation member in a playoff series. So big-time hat tip to Moses Moody for being a pro at the age of 20. All right, we'll come back. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. More post-game sound. We do have a couple of lines open. I will get to some messages via text on the Comcast Business text line as the Warriors win 121-106. Game 6 Friday night, right here, 95.7 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Russell dribbled it, lost it, turnover, picked up by Draymond Green. Down the left side, Davis on his hip, goes up, no good. Jam home, Wiggins, right over the top with a dunk. Timeout, L.A.
Tell you what, if I'm Anthony Davis, I'm looking around even at LeBron going, anybody going to help me?
25-7 run, 79-61 Warriors here in Game 5.
All right, that would be the Warriors' largest lead of the night, 18 at 79-61. Back here on Warriors Wrap-Up, a 95-7 the game. Harmonic Brewing outside Chase Center and Thrive City, 888-957-9570. We're going to keep this thing rolling for about another 20, 21 minutes here on 95-7 the game as the Warriors get the win in Game 5, 121-106. Game 6 in L.A., on Friday night, 7 o'clock tip, 6 o'clock Warriors Live. I will be in Los Angeles at Crypto.com Arena for that one as the Warriors try to even things up and force a Game 7, which, if necessary, is right back here at Chase Center, and it's going to be on Sunday afternoon at 12:30. All right, let's go ahead and hear a little bit from Draymond Green as he met with the media in his post-game press conference. We hope to also hear from Andrew Wiggins between now and midnight as the Warriors get the win. And Draymond, hugely impactful in this one. 20 points, 10 boards, 4 assists, had a block, had a couple of steals, and he was just everywhere. Plus 13 in his 29 minutes, and he talked about the win here following the game.
You went on your pod, you were real calm, you said, all we have to do is win one game. We win one game, the whole tenor of the series switches, the pressure's on them then. They do not want to face us in Game 7. How have you been able to just, basically every time you guys have been to the playoffs, you guys reach the finals, you've never lost to a Western Conference opponent. Mm-hmm. How have you been able to sort of channel that confidence and just have such a deep belief regardless of what you guys have faced?
Well, I think number one, we have a coach who's one of the greatest winners in NBA history, and you lean on him in situations like this, his calmness. Everyone feels that. And then it starts up top, right? Steph's calmness. And it goes on down the line. And I think for us, anytime it's kind of going astray, you just always lean back on what you know that works, on your foundation. And for us, it's just getting back to the basics, but most importantly, competing at the highest level that we can compete at. And, we trust and believe in ourselves. And as far as, win one, we did that. Now, going back home, they're going to give us the best shot they've given all series. And, when you go home, role players play better. Everyone plays better at home. So it's going to be us to go in kind of with the same mindset that we went into Game 4 with. But when we get the opportunity again that we had in game four, close the deal. We didn't close well at all in game four. And, you know, it's on us to go and take the game. They're not going to give it to us. They're going to come out and play aggressive. They have great leaders over there and incredible winners. Their coach is a champion. LeBron's a champion. AD's a champion. You know, they're not going to just fold, but it's going to be on us to go in there and take it.
Draymond, you came out just seeming like a little extra fiery today. You know that guys feed off that energy. Did you make a point to set a tone, or did you feel like that was on you to set a tone early, especially scoring?
I definitely wanted to come out and set a tone. Jacob Rubin told me before the game, like, you play well, but I still haven't felt your presence like I know you can feel, like your presence should be felt. And, you know, that's coming out aggressive, both ends of the floor, that's verbally, so everyone hears you on the floor. And I felt a little disrespected when he said it. So, you know, I knew it was on me to come out and, like you said, set the tone for our guys, come out aggressive. Season's on the line, back against the wall. You got to come out and give all that you got. And that was just my mindset coming into this game, and that'll be my mindset going into the next one.
Draymond, you definitely had one of your better games tonight, and you've said before heading to L.A., you know, you got to just focus and stay the course. But how do you bottle this energy for you as the last two games in L.A. have not been your best?
I mean, just go out with the same mindset. Aggressive on both sides of the floor, attacking. You know, I think for me that was my mindset from the gate, to just attack. Whether I was shooting a three, whether it was going to the hole, whether it was defensively, just attack. And, you know, that has to be my same, it will be my same mindset going into L.A. as, you know, our job isn't done. We're still facing elimination, and we'll be facing elimination for the rest of this series. So, got to have the same mindset. Back against the wall, you got to come out fighting.
Draymond, you've always said that you can always get your offense whenever, but this offense that you play in suggests that you facilitate to other guys. But during this postseason, you have been a lot more aggressive in last series and going into this series trying to look for your shot. What have you seen in this postseason that suggests that you need to be more aggressive and shoot more?
Just how teams are keying on Steph and Clay. You know, they're really doing all that they can, selling out to those guys and trying to take them out of the game. And we get paid a lot of money to do this. So you can't just sit back and watch them like, oh, man, they're taking them out, and just sit back and watch. You got to do something about it. And so for me, you know, I know it's on me to have that same aggression. And Andrew Wiggins as well. Wiggs was aggressive as hell tonight. And, you know, when they're guarding those guys the way they've been guarding them, we have to come out with that aggressiveness. And I think we did a really good job of it tonight and have to take the show on the road.
You guys would be kind of considered more anti-pick and roll than, you know, most of the league. Obviously, this matchup has dictated you run a lot more of that. How do you strike the balance of when you guys need, you know, do kind of your traditional stuff compared to when you kind of got to go more pick and roll heavy than maybe you even like to do?
I mean, we just lean on coach. You know, he comes in with a game plan. His game plan has never failed us up until this point. So if he comes in, he say, hey, we're going heavy pick and roll tonight, that's what we're doing. If he comes in and say, yo, we're going back more to our regular sets, that's what we're doing. And we trust his adjustments. He's one of the best ever at making playoff adjustments. And so for us, it's all about taking what the defense gives you and what's working. And, you know, we found some success there, so you don't want to necessarily go away from it. And just keep on using the things that we've been using until they're able to stop it.
To your point about the Lakers selling out to stop Steph, I mean, the Kings did that to some extent, and he took 38 shots, scored 50 points in Game 7. Last two games, he hasn't shot that well from three, but he's got 22 assists, particularly sort of creative assists sometimes. I'm curious about your thoughts on the impact of his passing and how that's sort of controlled the pace of these last two games.
Well, he's been an incredible passer forever. You know, his shot and the way he scores the ball is so incredible that kind of just goes by the wayside as far as getting acknowledgement. But we know he's capable of passing the ball, and, you know, he's been finding guys. And, you know, if he gets past one defender, they're sending four. They're not just sending a help man, they're sending all four guys. And, you know, he's always a willing passer. He's been making the pass, and guys have been aggressive and either getting layups, getting to the rim, or knocking shots down. And, you know, he's just been controlling the pace and the tempo of the game, getting it to where he wants it. When he wants to speed up, he's speeding it up. When he wants to slow it down, he's slowing it down. And We're going to need him to continue to do that these next two.
What did you think of Andrew tonight?
He was great. Super incredible, super aggressive on the offensive side, and, you know, it's what we need from him. He is sometimes our second scorer, sometimes our third scorer, depending on the night, and we always need that aggressiveness. I also thought his aggressiveness on the defensive side of the ball was great as well. He met force with force, put up a lot of resistance, and two-way wigs. When he's playing like that, we're very tough to beat.
Yeah, Andrew Wiggins, tremendous tonight. Two-way wigs, indeed, and in particular on the offensive side. I mean, he was bouncy and spry and aggressive and attacking and shot-making, which is something the Warriors need. He was flying around. He was looking to rebound the ball, seven boards for Andrew Wiggins. And really, I mean, everybody for the Warriors just put a forceful imprint on the game, from Wiggins to GP2. And how great has GP2 been? I know we had a Comcast Business text line note here. You know, can we talk more about GP2 from the 415? And yeah, I mean, I think he definitely deserves it. And, you know, I was somebody going back to the trade deadline that thought, hey, you know, the Warriors gave up a lot for the prospect of Gary Payton II being able to maybe help them win and make a playoff run, because you didn't know if he was going to be healthy, and he's got a couple years left on his deal, and he's been injury prone to the tune of, you know, how much can he contribute in the next few years. I think that's something that could potentially be concerning. The Warriors said, no, none of that. We've done our due diligence. We think he's going to be healthy. And as Steve Kerr mentioned and Draymond echoed, game changer both ways, really, in this series. I mean, he scored the ball enough in the last couple of games to help the Warriors. But defensively, hustle, he sets a tone and has been a big part of the reason why the Warriors have played so much better in these last two games collectively. As Draymond mentioned, didn't finish game four, but got to go back down there, try to do a lot of the things you did well. No panic from the Warriors, down 3-1. They took the things that they did well, and they applied them to the game tonight, and they got bigger contributions from everyone. Wiggins, along with Jordan Poole, Moses Moody, Kevon Looney, and others, and they wind up winning the game with much more offensive flow, 121-106. All right, back to the phones quickly here on 95.7 The Game before we hear from Andrew Wiggins as well. And on the phones, we go to Chris in San Leandro here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Chris.
What's up, JD? What a great win. There's a few boxes that were checked. Wiggins has to be the second best player on the team. He did that. Draymond was offensively aggressive. He did that. Clay, we know this throughout his whole he's a super streaky, so I'm still positive that when that fuse is lit, he's going to be incendiary. I have a question for you, though. Do you think Stephen Curry has to have that Game 4 Boston game, that Game 7 Kings game here in Game 6 for us to win?
It would help. It would sure help. I mean, the one thing that's left unchecked tonight, and I think it is a good thing that the Warriors were able to win without Steph having to do that, but I think if Steph does that, the Warriors are going to win this series. If he does that in Game 6, if Klay has one of those epic Game 6s, and that was kind of the thing I was thinking as this game was unfolding, I thought, and the Warriors were so hot from three, I thought, well, you don't want this to be the game where the Warriors have the hot three-point shooting game at the expense of maybe needing it in a Game 6. And, of course, you got to survive and you take Game 6 at its value. But I think the Warriors, when it was all said and done tonight, were able to win with a much better offensive performance and much more contributors. But they still, you know, they need to have one of the hotter three-point shooting games on the road. And if that means Steph goes off, great. If that means Klay goes off, great. I do think they're going to need somebody in the road game. I think we've seen how they can win home games, right? We've seen in Game 5 how they can win home games. There's just more flow, more energy, more pace, more juice. The role players and maybe even some of the regular players are able to play better at home. I think that's something the Warriors have had when they've played here inside Chase Center in this series. On the road, it's just been much more of a slog. They've had fewer players play well offensively, and so if there was a game where you need Steph or Klay to have a legendary-type performance to win and to maybe, you know, keep a team at bay at the level that they weren't able to do in Game 4 when they had a lead but never quite could extend it to a point where you really put the Lakers in a big-time vulnerable position, game six is the night for that game. Now, I'm not saying it has to be 50, but I'm not even saying it has to be game four, but it has to be in that category. It could be 37, but a really super efficient with a couple of daggers 37. I'm not saying it has to be game six, Clay, make 11 three-pointers, but you know, Clay Thompson needs to, you know, if Clay Thompson could make six or seven three-pointers on Friday night, that would be a big-time help. And so, no, I don't want to put it in a box and say you absolutely have to have it. The Warriors damn near won game four without it, and they were in a pretty good position for almost the whole first half in game three without it. But I think there are different ways they can win game seven without it. I'm not sure about game six, and I laid that out earlier today. I've kind of reiterated it at a couple of different points, the fact that this team's going to have to be able to score at a high level more than they've been able to this point on the road. And however they do it is however they do it, but I think the best opportunity to do it is to have Steph and or Clay just have a hot shooting nuclear-type performance, and you play buttoned up, and you do all of that. All right, let's go ahead and hear a little bit from Andrew Wiggins as he had his best game not only of this series but of the playoffs and really in the last 3 months since
Steve
his last game
has
before.
Mentioned.
Yeah, his last game before he went out and took the leave of absence toward the end of the year. So, yeah, let's hand it back to Janie McCauley. Hey, Janie.
Steve has mentioned in recent weeks just how much your defense, good, stingy, strong defense by everybody leads to great chances on the offensive end. And how much was that a key in this game? I mean, you and Draymond just, you know, taking it to those guys and Gary, too.
I mean, it's a focus. You know, you lock in, you know, you play good defense, you know, you're going to give yourself a great chance to win the game and, you know, take control of the game. You know, Lakers have a lot of, you know, great talent. You know, but we just got to make it hard for them, you know, keep doing that.
When you rewatched the last game, I mean, did you feel you weren't as aggressive as offensively as you should have been?
For sure. You know, I felt at times I definitely could have been more aggressive. You know, just looking for my shot more, especially looking to just get downhill, whether it's to score or create.
This has turned in for you guys a pretty heavy pick and roll series, included, you know, obviously they put Davis on you, so you're the screener some of the times. What's it like? I don't know. How different is your offensive role in the series, and are you kind of figuring that out?
Yeah, you know, it's the playoffs. You know, every game's going to be different. Every series is going to be different. And I feel like the good thing about this team is that we have a bunch of versatile players that can, you know, do a lot of different things, whether it's screening and diving, you know, popping out, finishing around the rim, shooting. You know, I feel like we have a very versatile team.
And Andrew, everybody talks about Gary's, you know, defense, obviously, but he's a really efficient offensive player, too. How much has he kind of just changed the dynamic of the series when, you know, being inserted into the starting lineup?
He's a game changer, you know, for sure. You know, cause he's going to make the right plays, the right reads on offense, and his defense speaks for itself. You know, he's a lockdown defender. You know, it doesn't matter who he's guarding, he locks in. He's always going to make the right play. You know, he's going to make that open shot around the rim. He'll dunk you, finish. You know, he's talented on both sides.
Steph said that he loved that you got up 18 shots, and he said that it was kind of sometimes on your teammates to try to get you the ball and help get you going. You seem like a pretty laid-back guy, but are there ever times during the game where you think, hey, I've got a mismatch, hey, I've got it going, and you have to kind of demand the ball a little bit?
You know, we have a talented team. You know, we have a lot of guys that can, you know, put the ball up and, you know, score the ball. You know, just asserting myself, you know, being aggressive, you know, from the start and, you know, just making my presence, you know.
Andrew, you're LeBron's main defender, and it seems like a few times tonight you were trying to push him full court, maybe tire him out. What's the strategy on that, considering you want to be aggressive with him defensively, but you don't want to put him in a position where he's going downhill and compromising the defense?
You know, I feel like be aggressive. You know, if I see him taking the ball out, just, you know, pick up. You know, it's a long game, and, you know, even if I put myself in a bad spot, you know, I trust my teammates behind me to have my back.
Do you sense fatigue with him in games?
I feel like you never really know. You could think he's tired, and the next play he might come down and get a put back dunk, and, you know, you just never know.
Andrew, Steph and Clay and Draymond have been down 3-1 before you guys were heading into this. What kind of tone do they set heading into this that sort of stood out to you?
The confidence, you know, how confident they are and, you know, encouraging and just making everyone, you know, believe that, you know, we can do this, you know, just day by day, game by game, possession by possession, you know, just giving ourselves a fighting chance.
How much did that inspire you? And obviously maybe looking at the film, that helped you get more aggressive offensively, but mentally, where were you at heading into this?
I was locked in, you know, I feel like the whole team was, you know, it was do or die now, you know, so we have nothing to lose but to, you know, fight.
You ever been a screener this much in your career?
I feel like in the Boston series last year, I was screening a lot, too. So,
do you, I mean, is it, maybe you can go back to that series, but is that different for you? I mean,
it's definitely different, but, you know, I don't mind it. You know, flag is another way to get involved in the play and, you know, make something happen.
Andrew, Coach Kerr said this is probably the best game you played since you, you know, came back from your extended absence. Do you agree with that? And, you know, did it take a little while, maybe just get a rhythm after missing 2 months?
For sure. You know, I feel like it's probably been my best game back. Just all around, defensively, offensively, and just doing things, you know, push forward and, you know, get the win.
Hey, Andrew. You were out for a while, and since you're back, you're almost like playing every other day. So how do you feel, like how your legs are?
I feel good. You know, I feel like everyone at this point in the season's all banged up and bruised. You know, but I feel good. Not fresh, but, you know, good enough to compete and, you know, try to, you know, get another title.
Good enough to compete. It was good enough for the Warriors tonight, but bottle it up again, like I mentioned about Draymond Green, and get a little of that for Friday night in L.A. The attacking, the defense, the bounciness, the efficiency from two-point range, all there for Andrew Wiggins. And he, one of the many heroes for the Warriors, along with GP and Draymond Green. But can it translate onto the road? That's going to be the question all day long tomorrow right here at 95.7 The Game and all day Friday leading up to Game 6 in L.A. and the Warriors' streak of 28 consecutive series with a road playoff win will be on the line. Every single series that Steph, Clay, and Draymond have played in, they've won at least one road game. And if they can do it again, they're going to set themselves up with a chance to come back from 3-1 down in this series right back at Chase Center on Sunday afternoon. If they don't, they will be eliminated and head into the offseason with certainly a lot of questions to be asked and answered. But that not part of the conversation for tonight. Warriors survive. They win it 121-106. Want to thank everybody in our San Francisco studios, beginning with Sterling Bennett. Excellent work by Sterling. Highlights and calls and post-game sound. He's just been coordinating everything, the Twitch and YouTube stream. Amazing work from Sterling Bennett. Appreciate him and everybody, again, doing the job here in San Francisco. We'll talk to you Friday from Crypto.com Arena in Southern California. Warriors live at 6 as the Dubs try to stay alive once again. Game 6 of the Western Semifinals. We got you covered right here on 95.7 The Game. We'll talk to you then. Fox Sports Radio is coming up next. Warriors win at 121-106 on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.